the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101, Recovery 101, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGPALA. We don't speak for any of the veritable alphabet of 12-step programs there are now, including what are the recent ones, Shelley? Sucked on sobriety or
no? Secular Organization for Sobriety and Save Ourselves, which is, uses the same
sucked
acronym.
On sobriety.
Yeah, we don't speak for any of those guys. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we speak excellently for ourselves, as you can tell from the last show. The magic's about to happen. My name is Bruce B. Well, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and magic Mark, maker.
The Magic Makers. There you go.
Because we can make magic here, but if I needed a meeting, what would I do?
Turn up the volume.
All right, then.
No, so, you would put on your shoesies and go to a meeting. Or go on to an online meeting if that's what you can get to. And then you can come back and listen to the
show.
Could
I download it on my iPod and take it with me on the way to the meeting?
As long as you turn it off when you go to the meeting.
Especially if there's a bad speaker, you can listen to it during the meeting.
Agreed. You know what would be funny? Someone's given like some heartfelt pitch and... I don't know, it's one of those nights when you don't really want a heartfelt pitch and you're looking for a speaker with a little comedy and you're just not getting it. So you put in the earplugs and the guy gets to some really distressing part of his story and we say something funny and you laugh. Oh, man. Remind me of the time I was in church and I did the Lord's Prayer. And at the end I said, keep coming back, it works.
Perfect.
I had like five people in the audience look at me kind of go, uh-huh. Like they knew.
It's not an audience, it's a congregation.
It's a throng.
I've been to some Baptist church where it was like an audience. Because let me tell you, there was more going up on the stage. I mean, they're playing music. You know, I mean, it was an event. It was like a concert.
What time is it?
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay. Uh-oh, I've lost my page.
I listened to an old episode where we had Sarah was on the show.
Uh-huh.
The doo-doots were just not happening
not
on
there.
The show.
Well, it takes...
But they tried.
You know, the Foley skills should not be tried at home.
You know what?
Leave professional work to the professionals.
Yeah, clearly.
In Hollywood, California...
Ooh,
Hollywood.
Not too far.
The son of Nicolas Cage, Weston Cage... was taken to the hospital following an altercation Tuesday afternoon at Farmer's Kitchen in Hollywood. He's 20 years old, and Nicolas Cage accompanied him to the hospital. He started freaking out in the restaurant when his trainer told him he couldn't eat something on the menu. Then he started pushing his trainer around in a violent way and refused to calm down.
Was roids on the menu?
Doesn't say. And it doesn't say that he was under the influence of anything, although waiters at the restaurant say that it did appear he was under the influence.
Roid rage?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either. I'm not saying he was. I'm
just
throwing
saying.
It out
you're
there.
I'm not saying you're saying.
I'm not saying I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there. Throwing it in the wind. See what
run
that
up the flagpole. See if anybody salutes.
Throwing the spaghetti against the wall. Seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
In South Berwick... And, you know, again, I'm so brilliant today, I didn't look up where South Berwick is.
We don't care. It's an anonymous program.
It's the Northeast, probably.
24-year-old Eli Hutchins got into a fight with his friend in an apartment complex, then took off his clothes. He was naked.
This is drugs.
Then took his truck and rammed it into the building. Then got out of the truck and began fighting with someone he didn't know.
Probably the guy that owns the building.
All while naked. Now, what was the impetus for him to get naked?
PCP.
We've never figured that out.
PCP.
What was it about doing drugs that gave you, just made it seem normal to get naked?
You know what, though?
See, I didn't do that a lot.
On my drug of choices, I wouldn't have got... Matter of fact, my drug of choice, I wouldn't have left the house because I was pretty sure they were outside.
Yeah.
But run around naked sounds like a PCP or an alcohol thing. Because alcohol, you know, tequila makes your clothes fall off.
Yeah.
Which is a great song, by the way. A little country for you.
In Bridgeport, Connecticut... This guy is either really stupid or a total genius.
Oh,
well,
I love
stories
like that.
So he got caught, so he must be really stupid.
But it might be a genius idea.
He stole half a case of beer from a local deli without even setting foot in the store.
Fishing pole.
No. He cut a hole in the wall and through the back wall of the refrigerator case, reached his arm in, and grabbed the 12-pack.
Well, then he went in.
One 12-pack? That's all he got. He went to all that work for one 12-pack?
One 12-pack.
The tools cost him more than the 12-pack would have.
How did they catch him? Did see a hand reaching in there?
Police said the man took the beer and then fled in a Ford Escort. But they later found him in his vehicle with an open beer bottle and a large chisel and a handsaw.
I didn't do it. It was Thing.
Wow. It was Thing. The Addams Family.
Thing.
You know what that reminds me of? I could just see the guy like reaching in for the second one. You see his hand going around. We have a cat called Sarah, and when you're eating, Sarah will reach her paw over the top onto the table and like feel around to see if there's anything she can grab. This is like this guy trying to grab another 12-pack.
Okay, in Louisville again.
Louisville, we're back.
Two Louisville stories in the same recording session.
Yeah, two different shows, so if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to the other one.
Police say that EMS had to be called after two Louisville parents left an infant in the backseat of a hot car while they visited a strip club.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I would not want to subject my young child to a strip club.
Perfect.
It was a lose-lose.
It was 88 degrees when police were called to the scene.
Of course, you got a sitter. You went and had all those extra dollars to be throwing on the stage.
You could have just had a stripper come to the house and...
Mom and Dad went?
Yes.
To the strip club?
Yes.
So when are we going to do that? We don't have any infants to leave in the car, so we're cool.
Leave your kid in the car.
Yeah, right.
If I leave my kid in the car, they'll take off with the car.
Yeah.
What time do I have to be back, Dad?
When the police arrived, the mother ran out of the strip club and jumped in the car and lowered the windows.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Saying that they had just gone in for a minute. However, a bystander who saw the child trapped in the car was standing there for 10 to 15 minutes waiting for the police to show up. So, and this was after, you know, she came upon the infant after they had already gone into the strip club. So who knows how long the kid was actually in the car.
Yeah, but she's on drug and alcohol time, you know. It could be 4 hours. You'd be like, it was only a couple minutes.
Yeah.
They've been arrested and charged with wanton endangerment. Is the
if it had
term.
Not been a strip club, would it have been wanton?
I don't know.
Or would it have just been
if it was a Chinese restaurant, it would have been wonton.
Clearly.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Hey, you pick these stories.
We're just bantering about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip that one for the moment.
She just skipped a whole page.
Just because that one's a kind of complicated story. If we have time, I'll get back to it.
Okay. We're complicated people.
In China. China is apparently having a little bit of trouble with drunk drivers. As the affluence of the average Chinese person rises because they're beginning to allow more, what do you want to call it, more capitalism, although they don't call it capitalism. I'm not exactly sure what they call it.
Capitalism?
People are more able to buy more alcohol. So they don't really have any drunk driving laws in China.
Oh.
So now they're going to... Now they're going to crack down on their drunk drivers. In one incident in December, a local official in Hainan province killed 5 teenagers who were walking on the side of the road.
Oops.
He still hasn't been tried. They're saying that there's two different sets of, you know, important people in China are not being tried for drunk driving offenses. And while in one famous incident, an everyman type of guy that got hit and killed someone was sentenced to death.
Wow.
For his DUI.
Yeah.
That's a bad day.
Try to say bad about your 6 AA classes now. This guy got, you know.
Yeah.
tried for death.
So there's apparently there's no real legal standard. It's pretty much just whatever the judge decides.
Okay.
So not that different than here.
Well, here we do have some precedence.
Yeah. Here we have a democracy.
But it's also whatever the judge decides.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to throw the book at the... I'm going to make an example of this guy. Okay.
Lindsay Lohan should not go to China.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man. They no. couldn't kill her enough times.
Not to suit us.
Oh. Bruce remaining silent on that one.
I'm quiet.
Although the royal wedding is now over.
It's finally ended?
It's finally ended.
Yeah, the last party of the Tuesday?
Yeah. The Diamond Jubilee is coming up. The Queen will have been on the throne 60 years.
Good Lord.
And they're having a big celebration. And the John Walker and Sons limited edition bottle of whiskey will be available. For only a few select people, because the reserve price is £100,000.
That's a few dollars.
They have been preparing
That's a brilliant marketing guy right there.
It comes in a beautiful, actually. I saw the picture of it. A beautiful cut glass decanter. They've been preparing this particular blend for 52 years. The individual parts of it that go up into making this blend.
I'm sure they have.
All right.
Some guy did this like a week ago.
Go buy me a bottle. Go buy me a bottle. I'll go out.
Guy said, "I've got a great idea. I'm gonna market this thing like it's the most special thing we've ever had. It's gonna be awesome."
Let's see.
Buying one of these bottles is going to be like buying 12,000 cases. More.
All right. In Columbia, Missouri, public health officials in Columbia have asked an ice cream shop to cool it with the cicada-flavored ice cream that customers apparently can't get enough of.
Now, you know what cicada is, right?
Yeah, it's those katydids, those cricky... This thing
look like grasshoppers.
Yeah,
sort of.
But they're kind of.
Kind of.
They make the stuff by grinding down the bugs. First, they have to go and collect the bugs. They collect them themselves out of their own backyard.
Okay, now let me ask you: is it just the bugs, or is it the shells?
They remove the shells.
They remove the shells. Okay.
Oh.
Just the squashy parts go in.
Okay.
But they've collected the bugs from their own yards, which the health department says is not sanitary.
Clearly,
yeah.
So they are being told to stop. However, the first run that they made of cicada-flavored ice cream sold out within the day. Why would you want to buy bug ice cream?
Why would people buy chocolate-covered ants?
I don't know that either.
Why would you buy vomit-flavored
Jelly Bellies?
Jelly Bellies.
I don't know that either.
When I was a kid in Arizona, I've never seen... cicadas in California. At least not where we live. But when I lived in Arizona, there were cicadas. And when they came, oh my God, it looked like some plague video. There's zillions and billions of them. And they shed their skin. And when they leave it behind, it looks like a cicada. Just there's no bug in it anymore. Like they shed their old skin. And it's like this light tan looking shell. And there's so much of it. People... like rake it up in the big piles in their lawns. When we were kids, we used to go jump in them like leaves.
Good crunch.
How disgusting. Yeah, really.
There's a sushi bar over in San Dimas that serves candied grasshoppers for dessert.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds like avoid that one.
Sounds like an episode of, what's his name? Alfred Zimmerman.
And once again, I tried them because they were there.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it good?
You know, I don't think I'd order them as a dessert. But they were okay, and I can say I tried them.
There you go.
They're a little crunchy.
There are lots of things in this world that you can try, and I think that I don't need to try them all.
The legs get stuck in between your teeth.
Ew.
Nice.
Ew. Have
you ever seen the guy, the Alfred Zimmerman guy, that goes around the world and eats?
Yeah.
Like, they go and, like, they peel bark off these trees in, like, South America, and they get these grubs out that are, like, half a pound. I mean, they're huge. And these guys are just taking them and eating them. And he's like, wow. He did an episode where he went to Thailand. And he's going to try and eat, like, the hottest chili there is. So this guy gives him this chili, and he eats it. And he's sweating, and his lips are burning. And he's putting stuff on his lips and everything afterwards. He's like, oh, my God. He goes, that was like the hottest thing I ever eaten. And the guy goes, oh, that's not the hot one. Because we got another one. He's like, oh, I'm not going to eat that one.
Yikes. In Lafayette, New York, I don't know why a Connecticut man, but I guess he was in New York, was charged with driving while intoxicated.
Connecticut, not that far from New York, right? Really?
Right. He was arrested for DUI twice in the same 10-hour period on Monday.
Okay, now wait a minute. DUI law is different from state to state, obviously.
Obviously.
Because California, you go to jail.
Right.
Like, you go to jail for at least a day. I know that.
Yeah. Well, when they picked him up the first time, his BAC was 0.19. They ticketed him and released him to a sober third party. Then they spotted him a few hours later drinking alcohol inside of his car at a nice and easy convenience store.
Nice and easy.
Then he pulled away, so they pulled him over and arrested him again. What and his BAC was 0.17.
Oh, so it went down.
A daily double.
And it went down.
Yes. One morning he would have had a hat trick.
That's right.
What's funny is they catch him drinking. They already busted him for drunk driving to 1.9. They catch him drinking, and he's only at 1.7. He hadn't even quite got back to where he was
sobered
before.
Up enough to get out.
Yeah. Nice. And easy.
In Wichita.
Which?
Wichita.
A man who was texting while driving Wednesday night slammed into the back of a patrol car.
That's stupid.
Oh, that's
going 60 miles an hour.
Oh, shit. That's stupid. And how are the cops?
Walked away from it. The cop would have been killed. His cruiser was completely mangled. He would have been killed except for the fact that he was out of his vehicle helping a woman change a tire at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't even get hurt, right?
He didn't get hurt.
That's because he was all loose. From you know what?
He was sexting.
You know what you know what it probably was? He probably was loose. Because one of the things with alcohol is you're loaded, you don't pay attention. If you don't know you're going to hit something, you didn't tense up. That's probably why you survived. Wow. So, folks, just know this. If you're going to text and drive, no worries. You won't get hurt.
No, I think the PSA should be don't text and drive.
Well, it should be.
Oh, that's the old one.
Yeah. The new one is you won't get hurt because you'll be all relaxed. You don't see the accident coming.
Okay, we got to do this last one because
okay,
I really want to do it.
Let's hear it.
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is out in the boonies, kind of, in Canada, the weight of 350,000 books is destroying a second home that these people bought just to house their books. The weight of the books is pulling the house apart. There are that many books.
Shelley has house envy right now.
I know. And I'm thinking, so? Just build another house. Build it bigger. Build it stronger. Save the books.
Instead of 2x4s, use 4x4s.
Yes. It's 30 tons of books.
That's too many.
They've actually tried to sell some on eBay, but can't find any appraisers that are willing to travel to remote Canada.
To Saskatchewan?
Yes, to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. They say it's impossible to estimate how much the whole collection is worth.
Wow. I think it's probably possible, but they can't get an appraiser out there.
Yeah.
Because it's too far out in the middle of nowhere. I think that you, I think people probably hear that with our new
mics. With our new
That's
mics.
Awesome. So do you have book envy for that?
I have major book envy.
You have a new book.
Yes, I do.
You got an e-book.
I got an e-book.
That you said you'd never have.
Yeah, I did. I said I would never get an e-book, but I caved.
She went to the digital era.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back. Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Come on, Shelly. Welcome back.
Do you know how many times you guys have done this and how many times I have not given in?
Just once.
No, I already did it once. Just once, and just, I said yeah, it was yeah, that just
are
that
you,
once.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Watch this. Our house.
In the middle of our street.
See?
Can't help herself.
It's not that hard. We have a topic.
What's the topic?
What's the topic?
Well, I was watching a discussion on an NA page on Facebook, and they were discussing... There was an argument going back and forth about drugs on an NA page, about people that were... It seemed to me that the gist of it is that people were upset that some people were able to use pain meds and could keep the same sobriety time and such. And I think the discussion was they wanted some changes in NA regarding that. I didn't get into the entire thing of it because just hearing about the drugs changing your sobriety date. Now, we've had this discussion before. In AA, technically, you could get loaded all the time, and technically, you'd still be sober off alcohol. But that's because they have singleness of purpose. What if you're in Cocaine Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous where it's no mind-altering chemicals or alcohol?
I am.
Opinions. So let's say you get hit by a car tomorrow.
Yep.
And you take whatever drugs they give you to take after you've been hit by a car because
yep.
they're going to give you pain meds.
Yep.
What happens?
What do you mean?
You take them as prescribed.
Do you lose your time?
Of course not.
I don't think so either.
Who's lead on music, buddy?
I was just going to say that.
No. The thing is because people... Now, we know someone in AA who had a surgery... And I won't even go into what kind of surgery because I might give away who it is. But what had a surgery is what I would say, not so much now, but for a while, was clearly over-medicated.
Yes.
Clearly. I mean, without a doubt. Possibly even got a DUI. Well, did get a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that person... Because they're taking drugs given to them by the doctor.
As prescribed?
I don't know.
We don't know.
It could be. I mean, it could be. The thing is, what they were taking was high potency, you know, painkillers.
Yeah.
Now, the surgery was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
Yeah.
And still taking lots of drugs. I remember I got hit by a car once, and they said, well, what's your pain level? And I said, it's like a 4. And they go, okay, then we're not going to give you any pain meds. And I'm like, why? And I'm like 16. I'm like, why? And they're like, because if we eliminate all the pain, we'll never know when the pain goes away because you don't feel any pain ever when you're on the dope.
Right.
So what do you do about a thing like that? Or what do people in the program do about a thing like that? What about the
overreact mostly.
True.
Yeah.
Well, because we've heard people say, oh, you can't do nicotine, you can't do caffeine, those are drugs.
You know,
that's an NA thing, though.
Some NA.
Here's
you
the
don't
thing.
Want to blanket
Here,
that.
Here's the thing about that. Why did I join a program of recovery? What's the end game?
Get sober. Get clean.
What's the end game?
To live a normal life.
Thank you.
There you go.
As a course of a normal life, you have things happen. You have surgeries. You have injuries. You have things that happen in your life. And as part of a normal life, they have come up with ways to help ease the discomfort that you have as part of a normal life, doing normal things and having normal things happen to you.
Right. I mean, what do you do if you have cancer and they give you pain meds?
Yeah, the normal thing is to do what your doctor tells you to do.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, and I agree. What about this? What about people that would say that taking drugs makes you go out no matter what? Because this discussion sounded a lot like that.
What about them?
Should we just string them up now?
No. That's what they want to do for them. We don't judge what other people do. The only thing we're responsible for is what we do.
And I think that's a good watch phrase for all of that.
Yeah. You know, I don't care. I mean, I don't care what other people... First, what happens in your sobriety is between you, God, and your sponsor.
Right.
Yes.
Outside of that, anybody talking about somebody else's sobriety, I just sit back and laugh. Because it's none of my business. First of all, how do we know any... How do you know I have 26 years?
I don't.
You haven't been with me for 26 years?
No.
You know? How do I know...
I know you've got about 3.5 years.
You know, I mean... But how do you know?
True.
That's true. He has a wine cellar.
Yeah. I mean, how do you know? Because I say that's what I have.
I've heard stories from people admitting later on that they've taken dirty chips for years.
Yeah, I sponsor a guy who...
A couple of good friends that did that.
I sponsor a guy who was so happy that he took a legitimate 60-day chip a couple weeks ago.
True.
You know?
And you know, then there's the other thing, because now go with me on this for a second, because I understand the whole, you know, because you live a normal life. I have had 3 surgeries in recovery. I had an eye surgery where they took my eyeball out of my head.
Did you see within yourself?
Sliced it open. No. I was out. Sliced it open, took the blood out of it, sealed it up, put it back in my eye, put a gas bubble in it. And after that surgery, I took ibuprofen 800s. I also had 2 shoulder surgeries, both of which I took ibuprofen 800s. And some other thing that was non-narcotic. And I had a grip of teeth removed all at one day, of which the guy tried to give me Vicodin. The dentist said, you're going to need this. And I took ibuprofen. I was just taking Advil then.
Which is Advil, yeah.
Yeah, which is Advil thing. Anyway. Now, certainly there's got to be some surgeries that just doesn't work on. Granted, I believe that. But how many people in the program do you think would justify getting Vicodin when they could have done it with something that was non-narcotic to start with?
I'm sure some of them would. I mean...
But wouldn't they still be sober then? I mean, if you had the option to take something non-narcotic,
mm-hmm.
that would probably work just as well, but you mm-hmm. opt... Like, I didn't opt for the Vicodin the dentist wanted to give me
mm-hmm.
because I thought I could do it with something non-narcotic. If I had opted for the Vicodin, would that make me go out?
I don't know. Would it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the theory. I'm asking your guys' opinion.
That's your call.
But what if you were to give an opinion on my call? What if it was your call?
Oh, my call? Doctor gave you Vicodin and said, take it 1 every 6 hours?
I don't even remember
needed.
What it was. I never
one
saw
every
the
six
instructions.
Hours as needed for pain?
Yeah.
And you took it 1 every 6 hours as you needed it for pain. Kind of called following direction. Now, the other thing is, it's still, I don't still consider it going out, but people who go to their doctor and don't tell them they're a drug addict or they've had an addiction issue and the doctor prescribes medication to them. You're on a little bit of a slippery slope there, but that's your slope. It's not my slope.
Well, and Shelly knows that the dentist told me you should take this because I don't think other stuff, your pain's going to be too bad. I don't think other stuff should work.
I hung on to the prescription for you just in case.
Well, yeah, I mean, he made me take them and go fill the prescription. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like trying to follow direction. And he's like, you can try the ibuprofen. And if it works for you, great. Because I told, and you know what? And I told my dentist, I said, I'm a dope fiend alcoholic. And he goes, I'm still going to give you the Vicodin. And I'm like,
what about daily? What about daily mind-altering medication?
Well, this was another thing that came up on that discussion board, as antidepressants are often looked at as mind-altering. Because in the literal sense, they are. Even though they're not a narcotic, they definitely alter perceptions and change the way people look at things.
And I've taken one every day for the last 11 years.
Well, in NA, it specifically says mind and mood altering, which covers psych meds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, but here's my question. My doctor also happens to be the head physician for a drug and alcohol center that we go to several meetings a week at.
He's well aware. Does his first name start with an S?
Yep.
And his last name start with a J?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, and he knows, he absolutely knows my story.
Well, I think, and I don't know this for sure, but they're not addicting, right? Psych meds, as a general rule. I'm not blanketing this because I don't know, but.
They never have been for me.
As a general rule, they're not.
If I run out and wait 2 or 3 days to get my prescription refilled, I am not feeling the best I've ever felt.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. So.
And see, AA is real specific about that. They've got a whole thing about it in the AA member and other drugs. But it sounded like the discussion on this NA discussion was that either they needed to relook at the way the wording, because some of the people on this discussion were quite supportive of the fact, hey, there's lots of people with dual diagnosis mental problems that we're basically telling them that if you take this and it's a mood or mind-altering chemical, that you're not sober, when in fact they are. And I think part of the push
But according to who, once again? The opinion of somebody else?
Well, but like you said, in the NA literature, whatever, it says mood or mind-altering substances. Well, that would cover psychoactive drugs that alter your mood. You know, I mean, that would cover that. So then it's up to you whether you're sober or not. But according to the program, you would not be.
In sobriety, besides the fact that I do have a regular prescription that I take on a daily basis, one a day, and that's what I take.
Plus iron.
That's right. And I have, you know, I mean, I've been on Dilaudid in sobriety. I've been on morphine in sobriety. I've been on a lot of different drugs in sobriety because that's what the doctor, and I fought it. They wanted to put me on morphine one time, and they'd have my father come to the hospital with my sponsor on the telephone. And all the doctor, my dad, and my sponsor all said, shut up and take the drugs.
There you go. Shelly took Dilaudid.
I don't argue with my sponsor.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. They just gave it to me in the hospital.
Watch. Here's the key question. What'd you think of it?
I hated it.
Did you remember it?
I hated it. No, because I immediately passed out, and I really didn't want to be passed out. So it was very... And then when I came to again, I was still in pain, and I felt all headachy and groggy and disgruntled. So I was like, okay, that was not fun. Please don't give me that one again.
I thought it was cool.
So what would your final thoughts on this topic be, Shelley?
I think it's important, if you're taking a psychiatric medication, to make sure that you take it according to your doctor's direction. And don't stop taking it just because some yahoo in the program tells you that you're not sober.
Oh, yeah.
Because that can be dangerous. People have committed suicide that way.
I will tell you that someone I knew, a woman with a lot of time in AA, said you should not be taking that. The steps can fix it for you. And she stopped taking it, and the next thing you know, she was in a bathtub with her arms sliced open. Arms sliced open.
Yeah, that's really dangerous. You know, if you've got pain that can't be managed, with alternative methods, just listen to your doctor and do what your doctor tells you to do. But, you know, if you can find another way to do it, great. Then try it. You know, if you can take Advil, take Advil. But I would hesitate to tell people not to seek relief from pain just because somebody tells you that you're not sober.
You know,
I didn't get sober to sit around with my back in constant pain.
Right.
You know, I didn't get sober to sit around and be miserable because there's something that can relieve my pain as long as I take it properly.
Yes. Mark.
The program teaches you to get honest. So if you can look honestly and say, if you're honest with your doctor and your doctor prescribes something and you can look and you can honestly say, I took it according to the way the doctor told me, then you're doing what the program has told you to do. If you don't do what the program's told you to do and you're just trying to tell yourself that it's okay, eventually you'll go out and get loaded anyway.
Yeah. I have often told people that while believe me, the stuff I said about ibuprofen, that's me only. And I am, as we know, rather anal about stuff.
Well, just like Bruce, that's what you could never be my sponsor. I'd never dream of having you be my sponsor. Because I'm
but
accountable.
But I'd say your psych meds are good.
I'm accountable to my sponsor. I'm accountable to my higher power and to my sponsor. So therefore, I better get a sponsor that co-signs my bullshit.
Perfect.
No, I know.
No,
I better get it. You get a sponsor that you can relate to and that you understand and understands you.
And I've told people many times, you know what? If I get hit by a car tomorrow, they should give me whatever they give me, the guys that get hit by a car. Now, mm-hmm. when I get out of the hospital, mm-hmm. I am going to try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
With ibuprofen 800 or whatever.
Yeah. Now, if you sprain your ankle and they give you the stuff that people get hit by a car get given.
Yeah. You know, see, I don't know. You know what? I mean, I had two shoulder surgeries, both which hurt like a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And the ibuprofen worked. Sprained ankle. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, we're not talking like shopping doctors.
Yeah,
you know, because those guys, I would, you know, and like you said, it's mm-hmm. up to them.
Mm-hmm.
From my opinion, that would be going out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if you're, like Mark said, not being honest with yourself, not being honest with your doctor, trying to get the things, and you're going to go back to your drug mm-hmm. of choice in short order.
Yeah. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went to the hospital and I had a procedure done. It's a procedure I have done regularly due to a family history. One of the things they give you before you have the procedure is Dilantin.
Really?
Really. Now, if you Ooh. Want to have a tube shoved up your rear every week, you could go have Dilantin every week if you want.
Nah,
it didn't seem like a good
so
trade to me. I had no desire to go do anything afterwards other than sleep.
I got to throw in one other thing at the end, and Shelly was there for this. I go in for my surgery,
mm-hmm.
and they give you that shot of whatever it is they give you before they give you anesthetic in the room, that one that sends you on the path down the lonesome highway.
Oh,
what an uncomfortable feeling. Shelly will tell you, I couldn't have been more uncomfortable with that feeling of starting to get loaded.
Take me to Happy Town.
Yes, he made me sit there and read a book to him so he had something to focus on so that he could try to fight against the feeling of being loaded.
Well, you know what it is? Like, you know when if you've been drunk driving or you're loaded and suddenly you have to talk to someone for a minute and you don't want them to know you're loaded, there's a lot of times when you can kind of pull yourself together and make it look like you know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Dude, it was impossible with this stuff. It's like I could not pull myself together. And the longer I was sitting there or laying there, the more out I went. And I was just – I kept telling Shelly, I have never been this uncomfortable. And in a way, it was good for me because it showed me how bad I felt about the idea of getting loaded. I mean, I would just – the thought mm-hmm. of recreationally doing that went straight out the window.
Yeah. No interest.
Yeah. So, Shelly.
Yes.
Who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com. Sarah said I have to throw that in once in a while. She misses it.
Now you made me lose my place. Oh, he. It's a fine, fine publication. You can read it online. You can have it emailed to you. Or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. And you can also email him and inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can get the 12-Step Gazette in your little burg.
What if I have, like, a recovery home or something like that? Will he send it to me?
Yes, he will send you copies so that you can distribute them amongst your members.
That's cool, for free, too.
Yes.
Awesome. Mark, what are our emails?
Our email addresses?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I have those. You can email us at recovery_101@hotmail.com.
.com.
Or at recovery101radio@hotmail.com. Or at recovery101radio@gmail.com.
.com. What if they want to advertise with us or join our sales staff?
Anything. You can smoke signals, babe. We'll read them. But you can go to recovery101radiosales@gmail.com, and we'll see it there also.
We've also got videos at youtube.com/easylook, youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
And we've got our friends at intherooms.com.
.com.
That is a fine, fine recovery website. You can go and enter the A of your choice. You can join groups like Friends of Recovery 101, where we have an inbred Blair. It's really
she's my sister. She's my mother. She's my best friend.
And she's my lover. Wow, that rhymed.
If she ain't good enough for her own kin, she ain't good enough for ours.
Wow. And that site is all free, which is a bargain at thrice the money.
Thrice the price?
Yes. Mark.
Yes.
Who's the lead on music by?
Incubus.
Incubus.
Yeah.
Sweet. Shelley's like, who the hell is Incubus? Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging clear. And I can't help but ask myself how much I let the fear take the wheel and steer.